Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. It's weird that we don't have to talk about a pay-per-view this week, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah, no, next week we have another pay-per-view.
Oh.
So, yeah, we if it's not WWE, it's TNA, and so it's kind of funny, over the past, like, I think it was 8 shows we've done, we've had, I think, 4 or 5 pay-per-views. So it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, of course, TNA has banned chair shots to the head. I just heard about this. That was weird.
I wonder if it's in response to Ken Anderson getting his head split open by Jeff Hardy, because that was not planned. But of course, in the, you know, when it happens, you try to make it look like it, you know, like, oh, I hate him so much, so that's why I did it to him. But realistically, I mean, it was a pretty kind of a dangerous thing, you know? I mean, Jeff Hardy didn't mean to do it, but of course it makes for good television. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that might be one of the reasons why, you know? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
That might be. Maybe it's also a gimmick because they're doing a concussion angle, which I think is ridiculous. And I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, you know, and you're probably right too. I mean, it's probably a combination of them, you know.
There's something that we didn't touch on that I thought was kind of mini news, but not kind of in the world of wrestling, in basically wrestling entertainment. WEC was bought out by UFC. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this? I was very surprised about it because now there's no competitor to UFC, and they said there's going to be about 5 or 6 pay-per-views less a year, which is going to be kind of nice, which will make the pay-per-views for UFC more. But do you think this is hurting going to hurt WWE in any way?
You will have really just one to turn to, and you know, realistically, I mean, I'm not a huge MMA fan. The only one I knew was UFC. You know, that was it. So the fact that they bought out this other company, if you're a big MMA fan, then this is probably big news to you. You know, I mean, it's probably the equivalent of WWF buying WCW, you know, or in the late 70s, you know, early 80s when Vince McMahon was buying all those properties up, you know. So it's probably equivalent to that, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. But anyway, so WWE is going back and they're doing an old school Raw on the 15th of November. I don't know if this is a good idea right now. What do you think?
I want to know why they're doing a 1993 is the old school that they're talking about. Ted DiBiase, Honky Tonk Man, Sergeant Slaughter, all of these old people are going to be back for this 3-hour Raw. My question to you is this. If I'm correct, Survivor Series is the following week, mm-hmm. or it's the week after. I'm not positive. I think it's the following week, though. What do you think? Is this going to help them set up Survivor Series or what?
I don't know why they're even doing it because it's ridiculous. I mean, you have your pay-per-view coming up. I can imagine, like, after the TLC pay-per-view that Monday afterwards, you then run that old school pay-per-view because there's going to be guys who get hurt in the TLC matches. Then I could see that, but there's no point in doing it on this. That's why I'm puzzled about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we got some sad news. Linda McMahon lost her race to the Senate, even though CNN predicted earlier that she was going to win. She lost, so she's not going to be Connecticut senator, unfortunately.
And I think this is something that we should probably touch on for our weekly topic, because I think we have a lot to talk about with this. So,
all right.
So let's move on to Raw, because we had CM Punk is out right now. Apparently he injured his hip. He landed on his butt wrong, which is kind of funny. But yeah, exactly. I see that smile on your face. He landed on his butt wrong and it messed up his hip. So he's going to be out of action. And they said that he can wrestle, but they don't want to chance it. They don't want to have him wrestle and get even more injured, because apparently they have some plans for him leading up to WrestleMania. So they're going to have him he's going to be out of action storyline. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's actually cool that they're bringing him in. I mean, because with a hip injury, of course, you really can't. I mean, you can wrestle, but you want to stay away from it. So he can do like some run-ins, which will be kind of cool. And you know, it's nice to have him on there. I think he's a very comedic person, and He reminds me of Jericho, like Jericho back in the early 90s, late 90s, I'm sorry. And I just love that part about him. I wish he'd come out and announce more because that just kills me every time he does that.
I agree with you, and I really do like what they are doing with him right now. I think that it is – I think it actually helps his character. I think he gets more exposure, and he gets more heel heat, which is, you know, of course, what they're going for. Now, what do you think – now, Nexus defeated the Heart Dynasty on Raw, and they've been teasing for the past, like, 3 weeks now. The Heart Dynasty has some issues, you know, with, you know – doing like not tagging properly or like just doing whatever crap, you know. So they're teasing a breakup. What do you think?
Yeah, they're gonna break up. They have to eventually. I just think that Tyson Kidd's gonna be one who's lost in the mix, and I think David Boy Smith. Oh gosh, what's his name?
David Hart.
Thank you, David Hart. I think he's gonna be the one who comes out on top.
But do you think that? I mean, they talked about bringing back tag team wrestling. This is the only group, the only real group, who is an actual tag team, who they are set on being only a tag team. Do you think that this is a smart move to do it this soon?
Of course it's stupid, but you know, I don't know why you'd want to do it now. You'd think they would actually wait until the tag teams have taken off because, you know, like you said, there's only so many tag teams. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately, they're basically the big one.
Yeah.
So,
now, how did you think about how Raw started off? Because there was tension between Cena and Orton. So, I mean, like, they came out that, and there's supposed to be that, like, Rock versus Stone Cold, like, feel to it. Mm-hmm. Did you think that it had that much intensity?
Well, while I was fast-forwarding through it, I didn't think so. Because I could have probably told you what they were saying in about 5 seconds. And it's like, are we friends or are we not friends? Well, I'm going to count it. I'm going to call it down the middle. So when Wade Barrett wins... You know, and The Miz comes out and cashes it in. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen because why have your number one guy, Randy Orton, you know, have him lose in a weird way where someone takes a chair shot or whatever and Wade Barrett wins the title. The Miz comes down and beats him. That's what I think is going to happen. I think that's the only reason that Wade Barrett's going to win the title. It's the only reason why. And he won't get it back. Sheamus versus Morrison has to be being set up because I'm sorry, but... If you lose to Santino, that means either you're in the doghouse, B, they just want to, you know, tick you off that night, or C, they're setting up a feud with you with someone and happens to be Morrison. So there is.
I like this. Like this?
Surprisingly, I actually do like this because Sheamus, realistically, he is a main eventer. You're bringing Morrison into it, upper mid card. And that's what's happening. They're bringing Morrison up to that next step, which would be grooming him for within the next year being a world champion, I think.
That, and you know what? Completely agree with you. I don't think that this is going to be spectacular. I don't think the match between these two is going to be amazing. It's going to be a pretty crappy match, let's face it. However, though, Sheamus, and I don't see him this way, but everyone else does, will be used as a stepping stone to get somebody else up. And John Morrison really needs to get pushed up there. So I'm very happy with this, you know, like you said. Now, there's something else going on that I think that you and I are both very happy with, which is that Daniel Bryan has been getting legitimate wins. He got a win over Ted DiBiase Jr. this past week, and he got wins over Dolph Ziggler, the IC champion, the past three matches they had. Mm-hmm. So he's 3-0 against the IC champ. I got to ask you, this is the way I feel about it. I feel like he... It's almost like fantasy football to me when you're on a winning streak and you're like, I'm going to lose this week. I'm going to lose this week. There's no way I can win. And then you win and it's like, holy crap. Because I was expecting him to lose to Dolph Ziggler all three times. I was expecting him to lose to Ted DiBiase. So, I mean, same boat for you?
Mm-hmm, very much so. But what really ticked me off about that was something we'll talk about later with what Vince McMahon said when he awoke from his coma. Quote unquote. But anyway, so Pee Wee Herman, he hosted Raw, and the big show Herman came out, of course, and they had a little thing which I thought was really funny. But something else happened in a backstage segment with Lita. Lita made a very rare appearance, which I think is kind of weird because I was reading that she has turned down so many offers from the WWE just to do a one night thing. And then just because Pee Wee Herman's around and she so happened to be in town doing autographs. And then there she is. Amy Dumas, aka Lita, it was there.
Now I know you're a big fan of hers.
Not anymore.
The one thing I like about this, though, is it's one of those things I think can help out WWE. It's like, holy crap, I remember Lita. What is she doing on there? And it's, even though it's a one-time thing, it still makes you feel like anything can happen, and that's what you want in wrestling. You want that, like, holy crap moment. If Booker T showed up for a one-week thing, you know, if he just randomly showed up, honestly, I think it'd be something pretty cool, because then you'd want to tune in the following week, you know? So,
I like that.
Now, SmackDown, Nexus invaded SmackDown. Do you like this?
Stupid. I couldn't believe this. I was like, why? Why are they on? Why? Come on. Yeah, I sometimes you just need to take the stop beating the dead horse. And this is getting old really fast. And plus, like, these guys aren't proven, so I don't think they're, like, the tough guys that they're trying to make them out to be. Now, if you had guys who are already tough guys, I should say I consider tough guys, beat up these people, okay, I understand. These are nobodies. Most of these guys probably won't do anything after this, especially David Otunga. He's the perfect example. Nothing's going to happen with him afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'm sick of Nexus already. I know that they're ticked about, like, the shirt sales and all that fun stuff, and Freddie Prinze Jr. doesn't care for him, but come on. Just, you know, stop beating the dead horse. Break him up. Don't wait till the WWE draft to break him up. Break him up now. It's getting, or after Survivor Series. This is ridiculous.
I actually kind of agree with you on that. I think that they are too big now, where they are the focus of every Raw. And when you make them the focus of SmackDown too, you know, it kind of sucks. I mean, it's nice to see them face different people because they're on SmackDown now. That's nice. However, though, you move all of them to SmackDown then. You know, you do a we're going to kick you off of Raw. You move them to SmackDown type match. That's fine for me, because then it's like, okay, you know what? Your storyline's over on Raw. At least, you're going to have it now here. It'll get over in 3 months. But I just don't like them to be oversaturated. Now, one thing, though, that I do like is that MVP is now the number one contender for the IC title. I actually like this. I like that he's going to a bit more of a push, and I think that he will have a nice feud with Dolph Ziggler for probably at least 2 or 3 months.
Tell TLC. I think that he'll pick up the title TLC, and then they'll wrestle each other. They'll wrestle at Royal Rumble, and then the feud will be over with, which is kind of sad because I think they could drag it out to WrestleMania.
Probably.
I mean, you got 5 months. I think it can be done. I mean, if it's done properly, oh, yeah, they could drag this out along. He could basically cheat to win, and then they could have, like, a tournament where MVP would have to go, like, beat, you know, a series of, I don't know, 4 or 5 matches for him to be the number one contender again, and then have something happen. I don't know. Like, you could continue it. There's ways of continuing it over a long period of time.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked before about how you really need to have all of these people going for the title. So that way it makes the title look like it's actually worth something. And unfortunately, with the IC title, it's kind of worthless. I mean, at least the U.S. title, it's being defended on a regular basis. And, you know, while if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago what I thought of it, I would have said it was worthless. But you can turn it around really quickly. So, but one thing, though, too, is that Del Rio is being pushed as a top-tier heel. Do you like him being a top-tier heel?
They need him. They need him over at SmackDown, and I think that he can do it. I mean, I don't see him being a face ever, because he does the whole, like, money thing. Like, Ted DiBiase, I don't think was ever a face his entire life. He was always a bad guy, or, you know, a heel slash tweener for a little bit, but he was always that guy that you couldn't stand, always throwing money in people's faces. I think Del Rio is that guy. He's always going to be a heel, no matter what. Unless he's tagged with someone, then I could see it, but it kind of reminds me of Bradshaw, that no matter how much you thought he was a face when he was a champion, he was still a heel.
Yep.
So, anyway, so moving on to NXT, apparently Joey Styles is quoted as saying that 84% of the viewers or something like that understand the show is a comedy show. What? Comedy show? It's funny? I don't get this.
You know, they do make fun of the women on there. They actually Michael Cole, you know, kind of... he trashes that. I mean, when Maxine got eliminated, which, spoiler alert, Maxine got eliminated. When she got eliminated, Michael Cole said, oh, the hottest woman is gone. There's no reason to watch the show now. You know, I mean, word for word is what he said. I mean, basically saying that they can't wrestle. And, you know, I hate to say it, but there's a reason it's online now. Okay. They're not bringing it back to TV and watch by the time this episode comes out, they bring it back to TV. But you never know. So
they're going to put on NBC. It'll be on Tuesday nights. It'll run the 9 p.m. to – I'm sorry, the 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time slot.
It's actually going to be on ESPN 8, The Ocho, in case you didn't know. That's where everything is. So
ESPN 8, The Ocho.
And you know what? If you ever want to get that domain name, you know where you can get it, Andy?
You can go to Goldust and Oksana's wedding that they had on NXT, too. Or you can go to GoDaddy, though. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com is what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, see for details. TNA, we have more EV2 versus Fortune. Don't care.
Yeah, I don't care anymore.
Moving on. So, Jeff Jarrett versus Samoa Joe is being teased. I'm excited about this because, well, good wrestlers. I can't
and
wait
you
to
also,
see.
You know, the thing is, you really want to see Samoa Joe get revenge against Jeff Jarrett. And Samoa Joe is the type of person who makes wrestling intense. He makes it look good. He's going to make it look like when he gets in the ring with Jeff Jarrett as though he is going for blood. That is the awesome thing about Samoa Joe. That's what I really like about him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think it's going to end up being a great match. No matter how I look at it, I think they're going to do a great job. So anyway, AJ defends the TV title against RVD and Rhino.
Which was awesome.
Yep.
Now, one of the things I kind of want to say is that I've always thought that Rhino was always underutilized and underappreciated. Because I've always thought that he has the opportunity to be a main eventer. I don't know what you think about that, but I've always thought that he has the ability to do so.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think he's always he could always be main event. It's just that no one would give him a shot. And that's kind of sad because I think he's a good wrestler. I mean, there's like niche wrestlers out there, and he's one of them. He's there for do a reason. He's there to do his gore, call it a day. You know, he's not like a Goldberg type guy. He's the one who's also physical, the suplexes in the ring. Kind of reminds me of Taz in a way.
And, a little bit like Taz, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the nice part about Rhino. He's always been underutilized, I think.
Yeah. And so
Morgan gets his revenge on Bischoff, and now he gets to face the new heel Jeff Hardy at Turning Point. So we have a new face, new heel against each other at the pay-per-view. Horrible idea, I think.
And why is that?
I don't think it gives Jeff Hardy credit anymore. He's supposed to be a heel, but now he's going against a big face, and then when he beats, because he's going to win, of course. You have to.
Yeah, he has to.
I just think in a way it hurts Matt Morgan's character, because he's gonna end up going back to heel, I think, pretty fast.
I think that it's actually a bad idea, just because if you turn him face, which is fine, don't have him go for the title immediately. That, I think, is a really dumb idea. I really, really think it is. Instead, have him face RVD, you know? Have him face RVD, make Jeff Hardy even more legitimate of a champion. And then face Matt Morgan the following, you know, month. Because the thing is, Jeff Hardy, if he loses, it completely destroys the whole storyline. It really does. And yeah, you know what? You can say, well, anything could happen. They'll do it to be different. But no, it will destroy his character. So yeah.
It's ridiculous that they're doing it this way. But sometimes all we can say is that it's the world of wrestling.
You know, yep.
I always bash the football GMs because they don't know what they're doing. Hence Jerry Angelo. Anyway, so our weekly topic we're going to talk about, of course, is Linda McMahon's loss. She was running to be the senator of Connecticut. She's actually a Republican. And she was going against a guy. I can't remember his name, but who cares? He won, unfortunately. But I think this is a big deal to the WWE because they just took $50 million. $50 million to try and basically, you know, pay for that seat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have just gone to Illinois and done it.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, of course, Illinois, that's actually what they like to do. All their politicians, they pay for their seats. Now, the reason why this should be a weekly topic is for a lot of reasons. Not to talk about the politics behind it, but instead to talk about what it means for WWE. Linda McMahon said that she may come back to the WWE, but they're saying that she's probably not going to because she's going to run against Joe Lieberman in 2012. So she, her campaign, her original campaign was to campaign for the 2012 seat.
What?
Yeah.
So 3 years.
So in other words, what this means is that while WWE's PG push was, you know, it was originally intended to help her out. And the second thing was intended to do was to, you know, get different sponsors because, you know, look, the sponsors they have now are more kid friendly as opposed to what they had in the late 90s. You know, they were more adult oriented. Mm-hmm. Not to say, you know, they had Playboy as their sponsor, but, you know, it was a little more extreme, you know, as the advertising was in the 90s. So the thing is, you will not see a push for WWE to go back to a TV-14 product now because of this. It didn't matter if she won, didn't matter if she lost, no TV-14, at least for another 4 years probably.
Which is ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. But what I thought was kind of weird about the thing when she was giving out her speech, I saw Shane and his wife. I couldn't believe that. I didn't see Triple H or Vince, but I did see Stephanie, and I saw Shane and his wife, which I couldn't believe. And, you know, she actually did say some things like what she wants to work with the guy who beat her now, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, big deal. But I was more kind of weirded out about the segment they had on Raw with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Vince, and he said a couple things. Like, yeah, Linda spent $50 million, and all of a sudden his heart rate goes up, and then he says, the next thing you're going to say that Daniel Bryan's the U.S. champ. And I thought that was kind of a slam against Daniel Bryan. But
that's, a little bit, yeah.
That's Vince for you, I guess. But, I mean, that segment, and then he gets up and he has a poster of the guy's name on his waist while he's pooping, if you want to say that. And I thought that was kind of funny, but I was like, really? Did you have to do that now? Couldn't you wait till, like, SmackDown?
You know, the thing is, I think the majority of people who saw that had no idea what was going on. I honestly think that people saw that and thought, what does this have to do with wrestling and a wrestling storyline? Because there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And it was a little annoying, to be honest. I mean, if you are removing Linda from the WWE, then don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Do not talk about it at all. You know?
You know what Heather said? Heather said something really funny to me, my wife.
Heather's your wife, of course.
Yes, Heather's my wife. She said something very funny to me. She said, why Linda McMahon won't win. And this is earlier in the day, by the way. This is basically once I got home. We were talking about politics, and unfortunately, I got to the polls too late by one freaking minute. 1 minute I got there late. You could blame our father for that. Anyways, so she said something to me. She said, why Linda won't win. And she said there's a lot of women, a lot of educated women in Connecticut. And I was like, well, what's the big deal about that? She goes something about like some weird percentage of educated women will vote Democrat no matter what if a woman is running, but Republican will vote uneducated women will vote Republican if it's a woman or Republican. They'll then vote Republican. So she said that basically if she went as a Democrat, she would have won. And I was like, really? So because for some reason, that's why she was explaining that's why Hillary won. And I was like, really? But I just, you know, it sounded correct, and I did hear about that later on. So,
well, you know, the thing is, actually, it wasn't just that. You know, there was a lot of reports online that one of the reasons that she lost was because of WWE's treatment of women, because not because of the way they treat them now necessarily, because, you know, it's not that bad. But think about 5-10 years ago when you had bra and panties matches, when you had women wrestling in gravy. You know, you had women who were, you know, literally completely naked, you know, aside from a couple of pasties, you know, I mean, it was the same thing, you know, you had that type of stuff on there, and it just, you know, really, you're not going to get the woman vote then, you know, you're not, there's no way that you are going to, you know, any educated woman, you know, any woman that, you know, has seen that is just going to say, well, you know what, you are the reason that you are hurting my gender. you know, and they're not going to vote for her. So but I think the other thing, too, was that it just that she had the same message from day one until, you know, the very end. It was the exact same message, and you have to switch it up. You have to have different themes, you know, and I think that she probably just had a really bad campaign manager. But the big thing here, though, is that WWE is going to be the same, and that's what is unfortunate.
So next, at least the next 2 years. Here's why, actually, I think another reason why she lost. It's the WWE should have done something from day one. Since when she announced her race, they should have been starting the We Support, like everything they do community-wise. Like, they go, you know, like Grant a Wish, you know. Is that right?
Make-A-Wish.
Make-A-Wish, I'm sorry. Make-A-Wish Foundation. That should have been the first thing they did. First thing they did, you start pushing that. Look what the WWE has done. They have Make-A-Wish Foundation. They do this. You know, they also visit Nitty Kids. They're on a library. I can't think what the kick's called, but it's basically where it deals with library.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have been pushing that day one. The fact they waited until, what, like 6 or 7 weeks beforehand to do it? That's stupid. That should have been pushed day one. And the thing is, now it's going to be pushed the entire time. Any WWE programming, you will have at least 3 of Linda McMahon's campaign advertisements, and you won't realize it, but that's what it is.
Oh, I know. And the, you know, I guess my parting words with it is that when they came out and they tied her with WWE because she was the CEO of the company, you know, especially during the 90s when it was pretty rough, you know, when she gets tied to that, you have to do damage control. The thing is, if you start off and you talk about the Make-A-Wish and you talk about going over to Iraq and Afghanistan, and you start that up, and then they talk about, you know, all the bad stuff they did. Well, you know what? You already have a case. You know, you only have to go halfway up now. You don't have to go the full 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was kind of the issue they had. But,
yep, but it's, anyway, it's kind of sad. It's just kind of sad. My thing.
It's sad that they wasted $50 million on a losing campaign.
Yeah, and they're probably going to waste another $75 million over the next 2 years. Send it if you want to waste money, just send it to Off the Mark. It's Off the Mark 86 at section86.com. Just PayPal us the money. I think we'll be okay. So anyway, so that looks like all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at Off the Mark 86. I am A Hughes 86. He is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we're tagging out.